And now, the trial of the former ballerina accused of shooting and killing her estranged husband is set to begin.
Ashley Benefield is on trial for the murder of her husband in the so-called Black Swan murder case.
After so long since the murder, I was really excited, a little bit anxious about the trial that we were finally going to get some answers.
Okay, bring the jury.
When you think of the term Black Swan, you think of the movie Black Swan. I definitely think it was apt for this case because you have somebody who the prosecution is claiming is a femme fatale.
The former ballerina and bikini model married 54-year-old Doug Benefield after a whirlwind 13-day romance.
On the early evening of September 27th, 2020, Ashley Benefield was scared to death and felt she had no choice but to defend herself.
I could see how upset he was getting. I was trying to get him to leave.
He is simmering when he arrives at Ashley's home. He's on a slow boil, actually, because he knows that this relationship is over.
He starts screaming at me. He said, I don't have to leave. I can stay and spend the night if I want to because I'm your husband.
Doug Benefield viewed Ashley Benefield as his property.
He said, you can't f***ing leave me.
Then what happens?
He hit me on the side of the head. I ran.
Where?
To my room.
Ashley, did you have anything in your room that could protect you?
I had my gun. Doug was standing in the doorway. His face was red. Like the veins were bulging in his neck. The way he was looking at me, he didn't even look like Doug. I held the gun like in front of me and I said, stop. He started coming towards me, and then he lunged at me.
There was an effort by the defense to paint Ashley as the victim. And the thing is, Doug is the victim in this case. Doug was the one that was murdered.
You say he slapped you?
He hit me.
Was his hand open or closed?
I don't remember.
This was an act.
You grabbed your firearm. Is it in a holster?
I don't remember.
Somebody has a story, and when it's not true, and you call them on the details, they often say, I don't remember.
So he lunged. Was his fist up when he lunged?
I don't remember.
I believe Ashley Benefield was an abused woman.
She just came over, her strange husband attacked her, and she says she shot him.
Deadly force was absolutely justified under the circumstances.
Whenever the defendant takes a stand in a criminal case, it is always a huge risk. It's either you are acquitted or you walk yourself right into prison.
I thought he was gonna kill me. There was nowhere to go, I was trapped.
Jim Axelrod reports, The Case of the Black Swan, Part 2.
After nearly 4 years, the trial of Ashley Benefield, the former ballerina charged with second-degree murder for shooting her estranged husband, Doug, began in the summer of 2024.
We stand with Ashley!
In the lead-up to the trial, a small group appeared near the courthouse to support Ashley's claims of self-defense.
We stand with Ashley!
Outside the Manatee County Courthouse this morning, a group showing solidarity for Ashley Benefield.
Among the supporters was Ashley's mother, Alicia, and Ashley and Doug's 6-year-old daughter, Emerson, who stopped to speak to a reporter.
It feels like I'm standing up for the right thing and that I'm doing the right thing for her.
Emerson's public show of support caught the attention of her half-sister, Doug's daughter, Eva Benefield.
Well, there's a lot of things that I could say.
Eva, known as Eva the Freakin' Diva on TikTok, let her 500,000 followers know just how she felt.
So I think that we should probably stop shoving cameras in 6-year-olds' faces when they have no idea what's going on.
Lead prosecutor Suzanne O'Donnell says she believes Ashley killed Doug to guarantee she'd always be number one in Emerson's life.
I think Ashley wanted sole custody of her child and was very afraid that she was going to lose custody altogether.
In her opening statement to jurors, O'Donnell outlined the state's theory of the case.
This was a custody battle that this mother was going to win at all costs. And the cost was the life of Doug Benefield. And that is murder.
There were allegations.
Defense lawyer Neil Taylor made his argument that Ashley shot Doug in self-defense after he physically assaulted her.
Douglas Benefield was a violent abuser. Ashley Benefield's efforts to placate him was absolutely consistent with what abused women do.
For the first time ever, Ashley would tell a jury what she says happened that night.
How are you feeling this morning, Ashley?
Nervous.
All right, try the best you can to relax and we'll get through this.
Okay.
The trial took place in Bradenton, Florida, near where Ashley was living with her mother when she killed Doug. It was the culmination of a long and complicated relationship.
And it goes all the way back to when they met, back in 2016.
In 2016, Doug was living in Charleston, South Carolina, and was a consultant for technology companies. At 54 years old, Doug was 30 years older than Ashley, but as she told the jury, she was still smitten with him.
He was funny, very smart, charming. We just instantly clicked.
The couple met at a political dinner. At the time, Ashley was working in the Sarasota campaign office of Donald Trump and sometimes helped stir up the crowds at his rallies. Ashley had also done some swimsuit modeling and, for a time, had danced with the Maryland Youth Ballet. Only 13 days after meeting, they married.
A lot of people ask, why did he marry her so fast?
Doug's civil attorney, Stephanie Murphy.
I mean, come on. When Doug first met her, she was every single bit as beautiful as those modeling photos will show. She was a knockout.
Describe for us the man you thought you'd marry.
He was very loving and attentive. We laughed a lot. And he made me feel very special and loved.
Doug invited almost no one to the wedding, not even his teenage daughter, Eva.
He loves this girl, his 15-year-old daughter. He goes and gets married and doesn't even tell her.
Yep.
Tommy Benefield is Doug's cousin.
It's bewildering. I would have talked him out of it. Eva certainly would have talked him out of it.
Eva was still dealing with an unspeakable trauma. 9 months earlier, her mother, Doug's then wife, had died. It was Eva who discovered the body of 56-year-old Renee Benefield in their home. Dead from an undiagnosed heart ailment.
After my mom died, he really took kind of a motherly role along with a fatherly role.
And he made his daughter a promise.
And I said, are you going to remarry? Are you going to start dating? Are you going to have other kids? Like, what's going to happen? And he said, no, Eva, I'm here for you. I don't plan on doing any of that.
But just 9 months later, Doug told his daughter he had married his new girlfriend.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Doug encouraged Ashley to try to mother a reluctant Eva, who was only 9 years younger.
He basically told her that I needed somebody. I needed a motherly role in my life. And I didn't think that I needed that.
Ashley would later tell jurors there was tension in the house. And just months into their marriage, the couple had a major argument about Eva.
He pulled the gun out and held it to his head. He said that he's going to blow his brains out and I was going to have to watch him. And he pulled the trigger and he shot a hole in the ceiling in the kitchen.
Doug's friend Tripp Cormany remembers Doug being embarrassed when he told Tripp that he fired a gun in the house.
In his words, he said,
I did the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
But even that did not end the relationship. Instead, 2 days later, Doug and Ashley went ahead with a formal wedding reception. The newlyweds were also planning for the future. Ashley had a grand plan to create a national ballet company.
I don't know that Doug could spell ballet before he met Ashley.
And they wanted to start a family.
You know, when you love somebody, what do you want to do? You want to make her happy.
Even though there was a growing tension at home between Ashley and Eva,
he promised me that things were going to be okay eventually.
Doug went ahead with helping Ashley follow her dream, establishing a ballet company in Charleston with a unique mission. Athena Nikolakopoulos interviewed with Ashley and loved what she heard about her vision for the new company, the American National Ballet.
She didn't want a cookie-cutter company. She wanted girls that were tall, girls that were short.
As they worked to get the company off the ground, Ashley focused on her other dream, becoming a mother. There was one problem. Doug had a vasectomy, but he agreed to have it reversed. And before long, Ashley was pregnant.
How did that sit with you?
It didn't sit well at all. He said he wasn't planning on doing any of that. So this kind of felt like another stab in the back.
In the summer of 2017, some 40 dancers from all over the world began arriving in Charleston to work with Ashley. But Ashley was nowhere to be found.
We get there and we're like, where is she? And Doug announces that she's bedridden with a really difficult pregnancy.
At the end of August, Ashley went back to Florida to live with her mother while Doug tried to make the ballet work in Charleston.
We decided together, he said that he couldn't take care of me, he was too busy, and that my mom could take care of me better, so I was happy to go.
But one September evening when Doug was out, Ashley and her mother came back to the house in Charleston. Ashley would tell the jury about that night.
I had decided that I was going to leave him, and so I went back to get my things and left him a letter saying why I was leaving.
In the letter, Ashley called Doug possessive, controlling, and manipulating. She wrote about that incident where he'd shot a hole in the ceiling in the kitchen and wrote that his behavior has left me fearful for my life and safety, as well as that of my unborn child. She told the jury why she was so afraid of him.
He would throw things or break things or smash things. He would come at me like he was going to hit me. He told me I was lucky that he punched walls instead of me.
Nearly a year after Doug's death, we spoke to his family lawyer, Stephanie Murphy, about the letter Ashley left Doug.
I really think that Ashley thought that that was going to be it. Just pack up her stuff, leave a note, and it was going to be over.
But the letter didn't deter Doug. He sent text after text begging Ashley to reconsider. Instead, she reported Doug to the authorities.
She got Child Protective Services involved from Florida.
Ashley told police that Doug had anger issues and was violent. Investigators interviewed Eva.
I was constantly having people come up to my door and questioning if my dad was a good dad. And it just made me so angry because he was.
After an investigation, Doug was cleared. But Ashley began asking questions about the death of Doug's previous wife, Eva's mother, Renee. Ashley texted Doug. Wait, what did she die of again? Doug told her that Renee had a 75% artery blockage. Ashley, I thought I have heard you say something about medications or something, like bad drugs? Doug's cousin Tommy says Ashley told him she thought Doug had poisoned Renee.
What was your reaction? You must have been like, why?
It's out of left field. I've read the autopsy report. It's clear. Died of a heart attack, essentially.
But Ashley, who said she was more nauseous than she would have expected as a pregnant woman, was suspicious.
Ashley believed that Doug has been poisoning her while she was pregnant with their daughter. They were both big tea fans, and she hearkened back to the times that Doug was bringing her tea in bed.
After she left him, Doug sent her a package of tea for her birthday.
When I opened it, there was an overwhelming smell, like a real strong chemical smell, and I got like an instant headache.
Did you report it to the police?
Yes.
According to a detective, it was determined that the substance that was mailed to the victim was just tea.
What was the result?
No charges.
By the start of 2018, Doug closed the ballet and was out of communication with Ashley. But he wanted to be part of his new baby's life and asked Stephanie to send Ashley a letter, allowing him to be there for the birth. Instead, the next day, Ashley checked into the hospital without telling Doug. It was 3 weeks before her due date.
She was at Tampa General Hospital claiming the child had been exposed to heavy metals in utero because her husband had poisoned her.
Ashley told hospital staffers that when Doug learned she was pregnant, he hit her and locked her in a room back in Charleston. She also said Doug had stalked her in Florida. No charges were filed, but the hospital took precautions and registered her under her middle name, Christina. 3 days later, doctors performed a C-section, and Ashley gave birth to a baby girl. Doug was not notified.
I think that Ashley's proposal from the very beginning was, you'll have nothing to do with this child.
The news that Ashley had given birth to a baby girl in March 2018 took more than a month to reach Doug. Ashley said she still believed he had poisoned her and the baby, so she signed them up for 26 consecutive days of treatment in this hyperbaric chamber.
It can detox the body of heavy metals and other toxins.
Safety Director Robert Sideroth says Ashley and her 3-month-old daughter Emerson spent 40 hours in total in the chamber. She was the youngest patient ever treated here.
Ashley's daughter was really small, so we ended up taking this ring and we put it around her waist. It was like she was like a little ballerina, and so her half of her body was actually inside of the hood.
In the summer of 2018, the poisoning allegations came to a head when the Benefields squared off in a Bradenton, Florida courtroom. Doug wanted to see his daughter, and Ashley was requesting an injunction to keep him far away.
Okay, let's go ahead and go on the record of Benefield versus Benefield. Case
number. An audio recording was made of the proceeding. Ashley accused Doug of poisoning her and told the judge about that incident when Doug fired a gun into the ceiling.
And if you'd begin by stating your full name for us, please.
Douglas Glass Benefield.
Doug admitted to firing the gun and explained to Ashley's attorney that during an argument, he wanted Ashley to stop speaking.
So at this point, you decide that the next way that you're going to do to keep her from talking about anything is to shoot the gun?
Yeah. There's not a lot of great ways to figure out what I was thinking. It was definitely to put a stop to the conversation.
But Doug denied poisoning Ashley. In September of 2018, the judge ruled in Doug's favor, granting joint custody. She said she didn't believe anything Ashley had to say.
There is absolutely not a single scintilla of credibility that I'm attaching to anything that was testified to, at least in this hearing, of Miss Benefield.
Days later, Doug and Ashley met at the sheriff's office so he could see his 6-month-old daughter for the first time. Stephanie says Ashley suggested that the three of them, Doug, Ashley, and Emerson, spend time together.
And Doug said, okay, sure, because Doug wanted to make the transition as easy for his daughter as possible, because to her, he was a stranger.
Over the next year, The three of them were together frequently.
Doug thought they were back together, that they were doing what they were supposed to do in the beginning, which was to slowly get to know each other, be a family. I thought everything was going to be okay.
But things were not okay. And Doug was in for a big surprise, Stephanie says. In August 2019, Doug found out Ashley was dating another man. Doug filed for divorce, and Ashley lodged a new round of accusations about him.
Ashley accused Doug of sexually abusing his daughter. She accused him of a whole litany of things.
Bye-bye.
Doug vehemently denied the allegations, and the sheriff's office seemed to agree. They investigated and closed all of the cases regarding allegations of abuse without filing charges.
I want to be clear about something. Was Doug ever charged with any crime?
No, sir.
In the summer of 2020, Ashley made plans to move to Maryland with her mother and daughter. Despite the difficulties in their relationship, Doug chose to join them. Doug told friends he still wanted to be part of his daughter's life and continued to hope he could reconcile with Ashley and have a fresh start in Maryland.
There's nothing I can say that could possibly turn him around on this. He's going to do this if it kills him.
It was September 27th, 2020, the day the turbulent relationship between the Benefields finally boiled over. Doug arrived at Ashley and her mother Alicia's home to help pack for the move.
Alicia decides to take the baby for a walk down to the neighborhood park.
Ashley stayed behind with Doug. It was shortly thereafter when Ashley ran to her next-door neighbor, sobbing and carrying her .45 caliber gun. And he called 911.
It's right next door to me. She just came over. Her strange husband attacked her, and she says she shot him.
Doug had been shot in the leg and chest. He lived for an hour, but died at a nearby hospital. Ashley's attorney met her at the sheriff's office. Detectives began investigating Ashley's claim of self-defense, but they'd have to do it without her.
She didn't speak to detectives at all.
But after a month of investigation, in November of 2020, Ashley Benefield was charged with second-degree murder. She pleaded not guilty. After 17 days in jail, Ashley posted a $100,000 bond. It was nearly 3 years later, in July of 2023.
Next week is her first in-person hearing.
That there was a key hearing in the case that brought everyone together, including Doug's daughter, Eva.
Which means I'm going to see her in person for the first time since she killed my dad.
Ashley's team had asked for the case to be dismissed, claiming she had shot Doug in self-defense, and prosecutors were fighting it.
Did you do the autopsy of Doug Benefield?
Yes, I did.
Eva wasn't fully prepared to hear the details of her father's death.
The projectile path went through the chest wall on the right side, and then it hit the right lung.
It's talking about my dad in a way that doesn't feel very humane. They referred to the murder, the shooting, as the incident, and they pulled up pictures of his body and, you know, they referred to my dad as the victim.
Did you, in fact, process the victim's shirt in this case?
I did.
It's been difficult for me to kind of grasp what's going on, and then hearing about it over again and over again and over again, it's a lot.
The judge denied Ashley's motion to dismiss the case. Ashley would have to stand trial for killing Doug. And that is when Ashley would tell the jury her version of what happened that night.
I said, I'm done, and you need to leave now. He said, you can't f***ing leave me.
One of the first witnesses at Ashley's murder trial was Doug's 23-year-old daughter.
Please state your name.
Eva Benefield.
Eva had lived with Doug and Ashley when they were newlyweds and saw firsthand how they interacted.
Did you ever hear your dad at any time yell at her?
No.
Did you ever see or hear your dad threaten her?
No.
Did you ever see or hear your dad get physical with her?
No.
Prosecutors next called John Sant to the stand.
Do you solemnly swear with her?
He is the neighbor Ashley ran to after shooting Doug. His 911 call was played for the jury.
Calm down, honey, calm down. She's with me now, quite upset. The weapon is here. Said that he attacked her and she shot him.
Prosecutors asked Sant if he had noticed any bruises on Ashley that night.
At any time during this interaction with Ashley, did she appear to have any injuries?
No.
The next morning, prosecutors called Ashley's mother, Alicia Byers, to the stand.
Good morning.
She swore that Ashley had never discussed with her details of the shooting.
To this day, you've never talked about it?
No.
Prosecutor Rebecca Friel found that curious.
She never said, Mama, he beat me, or he was coming at me, or any of those things. We thought that was important to show that the person who's probably the closest to her in the world was unaware of those things.
To show how Ashley behaved when she didn't get her way, prosecutors called Detective Chris Gillum.
Where do you work?
Manatee County Sheriff's Office.
Detective Gillum testified that Ashley once demanded that he arrest Doug in court before a sitting judge for contacting her when he was not supposed to. Gillum refused.
Her tone turned from the crying to very aggressive, and she says, you will effing arrest him in front of the judge, and I will make sure you do it.
What did you say to that?
I said, it's not going to happen. She started crying again and came out with a comment, something to the effect of, I can't believe you're willing to allow Doug to kill me and the baby.
The prosecution presented this video found on Doug's phone to show that Ashley was never afraid of Doug. It was taken just 1 week before the shooting. Doug is recording himself playing a game with Ashley, her mother, and Emerson. But maybe the prosecution's most important witness was medical examiner Dr. Russell Vega.
And that's the chest injury, just to the right side of his right nipple.
He testified about the two bullets that hit Doug in the leg and chest.
Would you be so kind as to stand up and kind of point on your body to where the entrance wound would be?
Certainly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Because prosecutors say Doug was shot in the side, they theorize that he was likely turning to run away when he saw Ashley point the gun.
Your Honor, at this time, we'll take rest.
It was defense lawyer Neil Taylor's turn.
The defense calls Ashley Benefield.
He called Ashley to the stand and asked about the times she was afraid of Doug.
Sometimes he would drive really scary, yelling and screaming at me, like running up on curbs. One time he almost hit a tree. He would get in my face and he'd yell at me. He'd come at me like he was going to hit me.
And Ashley said Doug once punched the family dog, Sully.
You punched him in the face so hard that he knocked him out. I just remember screaming because I thought he had killed him.
At an earlier hearing, Doug was asked about Sully.
You also punched the dog the day that you discharged the firearm?
He jumped up. He's a big dog. And he jumped up in my lap. And yeah, I mean, I admit I hit him. I didn't hit him like you would, you know, hit a punching bag or anything, but I hit him.
Taylor asked Ashley to tell jurors her version of the night she shot and killed Doug. Ashley testified that as the couple packed for their move to Maryland, Doug became agitated because Ashley had insisted Doug get his own apartment.
I tried to change the subject. I could see how upset he was getting.
Ashley told jurors that Doug bumped into her and pushed a box into her side. She said he hit her in the face when she tried to leave. Then she said she ran into a bedroom where Doug followed her, and that is when she grabbed her nearby .45 caliber gun, one of three in the home.
I held the gun like in front of me, and I said, stop. And he like turned and he got into this like a fighting stance.
He started like moving his arms and his hands around. He started coming towards me, and then he lunged at me, and I started pulling the trigger.
Ashley, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury why you shot Doug.
I was scared to death. I thought he was gonna kill me.
As you sit here today, Ashley, how do you feel about what happened?
Horrible. He's the father of my child. Someday you have to explain it all to her.
After a break, Ashley returned to the stand. Taylor then produced an old text from Doug's previous wife, Renee. It was undated, but Ashley said she found it on an old cell phone. He read aloud what Renee wrote to Doug.
I was deeply disappointed that you distorted the truth about who you really were when I married you. I loved you, though finding out you weren't really what you pretended to be. You kicking me so hard on New Year's Eve on our honeymoon because you were having trouble functioning in certain areas. You holding a gun to your head twice in my home.
When you hear that text message, it helps Ashley Benefield's case.
Criminal defense lawyer Matt Timpanic, who attended and followed this trial, says he feels that text supports Ashley's contention that Doug was abusive.
This isn't the first woman he has potentially abused.
Doug's divorce attorney, Stephanie Murphy, says she once asked Doug about that text, and he confirmed Renee had sent it to him.
Doug said that, yes, they had some struggles, and yes, there was an incident during their honeymoon, but it was not at all as Renee was describing it.
Ashley's lawyer ended her direct testimony.
Where was your firearm?
Ashley would now have to go head-to-head with lead prosecutor Suzanne O'Donnell, who had a surprise in store.
Judge, if I could have her step down so she can demonstrate.
What do you make of Ashley's testimony? Chat now with the 48 Hours team on Facebook and X.
Good afternoon. We're back on the record in State versus Ashley Benefield.
Ashley Benefield walked back into courtroom 6A after a lunch break. She'd spent 2 hours that morning testifying about the alleged abuse at the hands of her husband, Doug.
In State, you may begin your cross-examination.
But now, as she took the stand again...
I would like to just start with a couple of issues.
It was Prosecutor Suzanne O'Donnell's turn. And Ashley admitted Doug never physically abused her before he allegedly hit her the night of the shooting.
Doug Benefield never punched you, ever. Correct?
Yeah, I'd say that's correct.
Doug Benefield never choked you, ever?
No.
He never kicked you?
No.
The prosecutor called Ashley down from the witness stand to demonstrate what happened that night.
And I hold the gun out in front of me and said, stop. Got into this like fighting pose where he like turned sideways and he was like moving around with his like arms in his hands and he started like inching forward towards me.
I think it's invaluable in a case like this that the jury see what her version of events is.
So he's standing there, he turns to like this and starts moving his arms around.
Like that.
Well, show me. What was he doing?
Yeah, like, I don't know. He got like this. He was like making like fighting motions. I don't know. I'm not a fighter. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know that it came off as genuine as she expected it to. But we have to look at what she said versus the physical evidence and see if it matches.
And he lunged at me. He came very quickly.
Okay, so he lunged. Was his fist up when he lunged?
I don't remember.
The state insists Ashley's story didn't match with the medical examiner's testimony that Doug was shot in the side. Doug's cousin, Tommy, agrees.
If Doug was really lunging at her the way she said, he would have been presenting the front of his body. That's not how he was shot.
She's the kind of person who eventually believes her own lies. But just because someone believes what they're saying doesn't make it true.
But the defense continued to portray the idea that Doug was abusive.
They made this all about Doug. They cast Doug in the worst possible light.
Did you counsel Douglas Benefield?
I did, yes. Both Ashley and Doug.
Right. They called Dr. Jason Quintel, a trauma counselor who worked with the couple in the months before the shooting.
Doug occurred as someone who was domineering and at times would be super controlling.
Did you conclude whether there was an intimidation issue present?
Ashley stated that she was scared of Doug.
Mr. Taylor, call your next witness.
Defense calls Bruce Ferris.
Domestic violence expert Bruce Ferris met with Ashley after the shooting and said her behavior was consistent with having suffered abuse. He addressed that video of Ashley, her mother, and Doug laughing just a week before she killed him. Ferris said victims of domestic violence often appease their abusers to keep the peace.
We've all heard the term walk on eggshells. They're trying to avoid aggression by their partner because they've grown to believe that there's a threat here.
Taylor says Ashley was only pretending to get along with Doug so he wouldn't harm her or Emerson.
Are you saying to me that Ashley was like, I'll just sort of keep him happy so that he doesn't get violent with me?
That's exactly what I'm saying to you.
Domestic violence is absolutely a real problem. People that feel like they cannot get out, they have no way to get out. That is not this defendant.
But in closing arguments, Prosecutor O'Donnell told the jury Ashley was not afraid of Doug, not the day of the video, and not the day she killed him.
She did not have to shoot him. She had an agenda, and it worked for what she wanted, and she got what she wanted, sole custody of the child. And that's murder. Thank you.
But in his closing, Ashley's attorney reminded the jury Ashley spent years trying to get authorities to protect her and Emerson from Doug.
She filed complaint after complaint after complaint, calling Doug Benefield's behavior to the attention of the authorities with no result.
He insisted Ashley only shot Doug because her life was in danger that night.
I've presented to you everything that I possibly could to show you what Ashley knew about Doug at the time they took place, to show you that her action in using deadly force was reasonable. We're confident you will return a verdict of not guilty in this case.
The jury began deliberating in the afternoon and continued late into the night. After nearly 7 hours,
I've been informed there's a verdict.
Lawyers, friends, and family returned to the courtroom to hear the jury's decision.
The defendant is guilty of manslaughter, a lesser included offense.
Guilty of manslaughter, but not second-degree murder.
Murder, too, requires some kind of intent. Manslaughter doesn't require that. It's more of heat of passion. The jury is essentially saying, we don't think she pre-planned this, but we also don't think she was justified in doing it.
Any conviction that will put Ashley in prison comes as a welcome relief to Doug's family and friends.
I also want to advise you.
The highlight of the trial for me personally was hearing the verdict read out loud. The second best thing was hearing the click of the handcuffs.
We are walking to my car from the courthouse.
Eva updated her followers about the verdict.
My dad got the justice that he deserves.
We stand with Ashley!
She's hoping one day to play a role in the life of Emerson, who is still being raised by Ashley's mother, Alicia.
I hope that one day she'll grow into a strong young woman and I'll be able to get to know her and explain to her who her father was and show her all the pictures and videos and just really tell her how life should have been.
Ashley faces up to 30 years in prison. State Attorney Ed Brodsky, who runs the prosecutor's office, says they will ask the judge to sentence her to the maximum.
This was an example of someone that wanted to take the law into her own hands, and that was the bridge that she crossed too far.
As the years have gone by and the colors fade, you see that she's actually the black swan and always has been.
Paramount Podcasts.